Welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and what you're going to be listening to tonight is the third installment of a special three-part broadcast that, for all we know, may go on a couple more nights, although I do have another guest scheduled tomorrow night. But to bring you up to date, those of you who are just tuning in tonight for the first time or perhaps missed the last couple programs, Friday night we had my colleague from American Free Press, Christopher Boleyn, on board discussing the story of Sam Danner, who witnessed an aircraft hitting the Pentagon. Mr. Danner was a pilot, not a professional pilot. Actually, he was an electrical engineer for the railroad, but he did have long experience as a pilot. And to make a long, very interesting story very short, or to make a short, very interesting story even shorter, the fact is what Mr. Danner saw hit the Pentagon was not what our government has told us hit the Pentagon. That is a Boeing 757. In any case, Christopher Boleyn called in, and he was our guest on Friday night, and he told Mr. Danner's story, having interviewed him extensively, as did Eric Hufschmidt, who's the producer and author of the famous book and video on 911, Painful Questions. In any case, on Monday night, last night, we had Mr. Danner and himself, who told the story in his own words, and we again were joined by Christopher Boleyn. Christopher, I always say without hesitation, is the best journalist in America, and I make no apologies to many other good journalists who are out there, because I can say that with good authority regarding Christopher. I've watched his work very closely on a personal basis for several years now, and I know what I'm talking about. So as I say, with apologies to anybody else who might take offense at that, I view Christopher as the best journalist in America. In any case, tonight, God willing, both Christopher and Sam Danner are going to join us again in the next couple minutes. We want to pursue this story even further. I might mention that I understand the ratings for that program may have gone through the roof and may have been the best ratings ever for this program, and I'm not surprised because, you know, I don't have a lot of guests on this program. I try to get the best of the best, and I think with Sam Danner and Christopher Boleyn, you can't get much better than that. I don't know Mr. Danner other than having spoken to him on the phone, but as I said last night, I trust what he has to say. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper. I hope you'll stay with us. We have a very important show coming up ahead here, folks. Please stay tuned.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know. to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm coming to you from Washington, D.C., and I've got two very special guests. My colleague Christopher Boleyn, who is calling in from afar, and Sam Danner, who's not real far away from me in Maryland. Sam is a witness. Those of you who listen to the program, and I know many of you did, and you're probably tuning in again, Sam is a witness to what did happen at the Pentagon. He has experience as a pilot with a long-standing, lifelong interest in airplanes. Sam's in his 50s now. Don't want to make him too old, but he's in his 50s now, and he's been involved with airplanes, either flying them or just studying them as someone with a great deal of interest since he was about 16 years old. So this is someone who knows a little bit about airplanes and can tell a Boeing 757 from another type of plane. And, of course, and Christopher Boleyn, as I mentioned, the best journalist in America. Now, I'm going to wrap up the last, I don't even want to say wrap up the last two programs, but just make a point that I've gotten quite a few emails from people who listened to the last two programs. And I want to remind everybody that these programs are archived on the Internet at RBNLive.com, RBNLive.com. You can listen to them anywhere at any time on the computer, on the Internet. So if you want to send them to friends and tell them to catch up on what they haven't seen or heard, I should say, you just send them that link, RBNLive.com. Tell them to go to the archives for the Piper Report. That's the official or unofficial name of this program. And listen to the programs from Friday, Monday, and today, which is July 11th, of course. One point that I want to make, there have been some people who have been concerned that in our discussions, Sam has not been clear as to where he was precisely at the time he witnessed what happened at the Pentagon. Suffice it to say, as I told someone in an email today, I've lived in the Washington area with the exception for about 9 months. I've lived in the Washington area from 1978 onward. And any time I have been driving in the Washington area and have gotten lost, it has been, in fact, the last three or four times I've been driving in the Washington area, I got lost right within the immediate area of the Pentagon. And all during that time frame of those times that I got lost, I could virtually see the Pentagon from one spot or another, whatever road I was on. So it's very, very possible to be going in, you know, two or three different people on different roads going in north, south, east, and west, for example, can all see the Pentagon at the same time. And as Sam pointed out, he was lost. He had taken the wrong turn leaving the Washington area and was lost and didn't know exactly where he was other than the fact that he was within viewing distance of the Pentagon. And anyone who has been in the Washington area within a mile of the Pentagon can attest to the fact that you can see the Pentagon from many different directions. And before we go any further, I just want to say one more thing. I said it last night. I said it to my colleagues at the American Free Press office today, and I'll repeat it again for anyone who is listening in. I've talked to Sam. I've never met him in person. I wouldn't know him if he was knocking on my door right now. But I believe Sam. I believe that he is being honest in what he's telling us, and I think anybody of any integrity can see that for themselves. In my career, in writing and in journalism, I met some of the biggest con men in the face of the planet. And I can say that without hesitation. And I have a pretty good ear and eye for con men and for people who are spinning or who are embroidering. And I don't believe we've gotten any of that from our guest here tonight, Sam Danner. So that having been said, gentlemen, Sam and Christopher, and to our audience, what I want to do right now is open up the phones. And what I would like to do is encourage anybody who has any serious criticisms and or questions about Sam and his story or anything that Christopher has said or, for that matter, what I have said in regard to this very specific topic, I urge you to call in. The number, of course, is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. We want to sort this story out before the world, and this is before the world because you can listen to RBN on the internet anywhere in the world, and hopefully the same thing can be said about listening on shortwave at 12.180, and I guess 6.890. So the thing is this: here we are, folks. We are open before the world. We want to answer your questions because you know what? Some of your questions may help us answer some of the questions that we have. It may help us sort out some of the things that Sam right now is not particularly certain about. He hasn't been back to the Pentagon in some time, but we want to get him down there and get him on tape and let him show Christopher Boleyn exactly where he was and describe what he saw from that location. So if you have any questions, folks, now is the time to address those questions. We're going to be here for an hour, and if need be, we'll bring Sam back later in the week. We'll bring him back every night if necessary, as long as he's up to it. And we'll answer the questions. So please, really what we want to do tonight, we don't want to talk about extraneous matters. I have open phones here on the program quite a bit, and you can talk. And as you know, I let anybody call in and talk about virtually anything they can want to talk about, as long as it's fit for discussion in the family hour. So now I've ranted and raved here, folks, but let's get Sam up and Christopher, and I just want to ask you guys, you have any quick comments here before we have our next break and before we get any phone calls?
So this is Christopher. Could I ask one question to Sam?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sam, we really want to establish your credibility, and I want to ask the thing that is probably puzzling a lot of people the most. I know you addressed it yesterday, but could you tell the listeners, what was your thinking as you heard the government version of what happened at the Pentagon about Flight 7, about the 757 hitting the Pentagon? And from what you had seen, what was your thinking? What was it that kept you from coming forward earlier?
Well, what kept me from coming forward earlier was the fact that it seemed so obvious that it wasn't a 757. I thought somebody else would point this out.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else that was maybe more famous, not just Joe Blow like me, Joe American. It worried me. It was on my mind consistently through these last four, or it'd be coming up on 5 years. And it was just always a chore to think about this whole 9/11 issue with the Trade Centers, Building 7, and everything, because it just had been on my mind. And I thought, I'm going to have to tell my side of the story. I'm going to tell what I saw. I'm telling you, the audience, listening audience, what I saw, what I heard, and what I had said to government employees on that site on that day.
Okay, Sam, let me ask a question here. I think you can verify this. You've never spoken to me before, I guess, what, this past weekend.
That's correct.
And you had just spoken to Christopher Boleyn, what, maybe a couple days before that.
That's correct, too.
And likewise, his associate, Eric Hoofschmidt, with whom I'm acquainted.
Yeah, Eric is the one that I talked to probably the most, and he's the one that came out with Painful Deceptions, an excellent DVD on the September 11th attack, and also he has a nice book called Painful Questions that comes along with that, and I have that book with me for my own references as I look at the pictures, because I was looking for my own car parked in here on pages 100 and 101. For those of you that may have this book, you may want to go get that. And anyway,
Did you find your car in the picture there?
No, I talked to Eric about this earlier tonight. No, I didn't find an old beat up Saturn, but I found what direction apparently everybody's going and what may be the road that I was on, because apparently it wasn't I-395, and the media, such as Fox, NBC, CBS, ABC, and thus and forth, they mentioned this 395, and being a small-town hick kind of a guy that was, you know, versatile with airplanes and stuff like that, I was totally lost, and I was more of a panic of being lost until this incident happened, which totally just consumed me. So I thought I was on Interstate 395, and I think I was on a Route 27, I found out now. But I was going to do MapQuest tonight and actually get the bearings and have this all ready. But let me just
make one comment. I, as I mentioned earlier, and it's worth repeating, I have been already lost in that area, both on foot and driving. And I can tell you that you can appear to be within walking or even driving distance of the Pentagon or other landmarks in the area. And when you think you're going to get there, you're not going to, because there are roads that cut through. There are one-way roads that go all sorts of different ways. And just all sorts of, because of the security around there, it's not a simple task. So just because you can see the Pentagon doesn't mean you can get to it. So that having been said, I want to tell you fellas now, we have three callers that have come up. And I'm going to, and we're almost ready for our next break, but immediately when we come back from the break, I'm going to bring the callers up. We have Keith in Rhode Island, Larry in Mississippi, and Paul in Toronto. So that just goes to show you that we are reaching people outside the United States, and I hope there's people listening from around the world.
What a variety.
So here we go to the break, folks, and then we are going right to the calls. This is Michael Collins Piper with two very special guests, Sam Danner and Christopher Boleyn. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, as you should be.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. on the Republic Broadcasting Network, reminding you that these broadcasts are archived at rbnlive.com, and you can listen to them on the Internet at any time, anywhere. And speaking of which, we have three callers who are eager to ask questions of or make comments to Sam Danner and Christopher Boleyn, and possibly even myself. So let's go right to them. This is Keith in Rhode Island who's going to come up first. Keith.
Yeah, guys, Mr. Boleyn, Mr. Piper, I can't believe you guys would be irresponsible enough to put this man on the air and give him so much attention, so much airtime. Mr. Boleyn, a legitimate journalist would find at least two independently verifiable sources for a story before running with that story. You find this one person who is this one man who is of dubious credibility, to say the least, and his story is enough to convince you beyond a shadow of a doubt as a journalist that his story is true. One person, one witness.
Let me make a comment on that first. The point is this: that here is somebody who did come forth. A lot of the other people who are known to be said to be witnesses of 9/11, what happened at the Pentagon, are government employees, and I guarantee you those government employees are not going to come forth. I also would point out that I think the guest has some credibility precisely because of the fact that he is a pilot, has been a pilot for a long, long time, and is someone who could probably recognize certain things about certain vehicles, the airborne vehicles, a lot of people couldn't.
Well, but what can Sam say to that caller?
Sir, well, what was your question about me?
Well, he doubts your credibility, Sam. What do you have to say to that?
I would say this to you, mister. I'm just reporting what I saw, what has been troubling me for almost 5 years. I did not pick a date. I seek no glory for myself. I love my country. I consider myself a patriot. There's something that just is not right. And from what I understand and from what I saw, I've been plagued and plagued and plagued with nothing but inconsistencies and stories that never matched compared to what I saw when I was down there with those Pentagon employees and when I was down there looking for body parts and when I was down there looking for luggage and wreckage and everything else. That was not clearly to be seen. So, I mean, credibility-wise, you can go ahead and contact, you know, your local law enforcement agencies or whatever. My life is an open book, and I have nothing to defend myself. I mean, I don't feel I have to defend myself before you. I don't know who you are. You know, I mean, I respect your phone call, but I have nothing more to say about it.
Okay, Sam, let me make a point. Keith is a pretty regular caller to this program, and he's a pretty sharp guy, I always respect what he has to say, and I think I would say he from the context of the way he raised the question,
he has a point.
He has a legitimate point.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, okay. Well,
let me say one thing.
Go ahead.
The thing is that what Sam is telling us corroborates what we see in the photographic evidence and what we have seen from other eyewitnesses. What he says corroborates what Stephen Riskus told me, for example, that the plane was making a whining noise without a very loud roar. What he says corroborates the photograph that shows a 3-foot engine part on the lawn. What he says corroborates the evidence and the testimony that we have already heard. He doesn't say anything that contradicts what
I agree with you on that. Anybody could just look at these pictures and just say this stuff. They can make it up.
Let me make a point, too. I was here in the Washington area, of course, on 911, and I recall very specifically that it was initially reported that it was believed that a helicopter had struck the Pentagon. That was one of the earliest reports. That was one of the earliest reports that was broadcast, at least here in the local media. Mm-hmm. Maybe not on the national media, but in the local media for certain. And from the description of the airborne vehicle that Sam described having seen, someone who was not well-versed in airborne vehicles could have perceived the vehicle that he described as being a large helicopter.
And we would really like more eyewitnesses to come forth, but they are very few that have done so.
Well, sir, I will add one comment. I have 6 addresses of people that I, you know, made friends with, I worked with that day. I'm in the process now of contacting them. I've contacted 4. Today I have contacted these 4, and I don't know how to word this. I'm kind of like putting the heat under some of these people to come forth. Because I concur with some of your, a lot of what you're saying does make sense. You know, you don't know who, you know, I could be making this whole thing up for some vainglory thing. That's not the case with me. I don't need this. I don't need this in my life. You know, I have cancer, and I have enough things, you know, to worry about, having lymphoma and try to raise a family and make a mortgage. But I do have other connections, and then I'm trying to get a hold of these people because I see now, you know, we do need other witnesses. We do need other people to come forward and say, yes, I was on that road with you, or yes, I remember speaking with you. Or just somebody that's listening and that out there in the audience could say, yep, it's time to come forward. It's time for me to say what I saw. And it may even differ from my, you know, from what I've said already.
Keith.
Because the thing was flying so fast. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, no.
Okay, I'm just saying the Washington metropolitan area has about 2 million people. And
I agree.
You can't really find more than one witness who can swear under oath to corroborate what this man is saying. I would be very surprised.
Makes sense to me, sir.
All right, Keith, we have that break coming up. I appreciate your call. You've raised a very valid point.
You're a real stand-up guy, Keith.
We're looking for more people to come forth. Folks, stay tuned. We got more callers.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Good evening. This is Christopher Bolin. I'm filling in for Mike Piper for a little bit. He's stepped away from the phone. We're talking to Sam Danner, an eyewitness to the Pentagon, a man who says he was at the Pentagon. The last caller, challenged the fact that he's the only one. Sam, do you think we will be able to bring other eyewitnesses forth with your testimony?
Yeah, I really think so, because that when four other individuals I had a brief contact with learned, they were kind of horrified. They said, "What? You went on radio and told this story?" I said, "Well, why not?" I said, "You were there, and all of you were just as in shock as I was." I said, "Why not bring it up?" And all of you know that it wasn't a Boeing 757. So
right.
with that whole thing, and I brought this up yesterday about those five frames. That's what really lit me. When I saw those five frames, I thought it looked okay. The initial explosion, which was a white phosphorus type brilliant white light, it looked like it was all computer enhanced. These may have been real explosions on that parking lot video from the Pentagon, but it looked like it had been worked over. I don't know what the wording is for it.
Enhanced
or whatever. Yeah. I'm not a computer geek.
Yeah.
But that's one thing I noticed, and I did not see what I saw and what I saw in that thing, and I freeze-framed it and magnified it and, went over with a fine-tooth comb.
Mm-hmm.
I saw no aircraft in there. I had people, I took it to work, I took this thing everywhere. Do you see an airplane in here? Be honest with me. And some of them said, yeah, I see one in there, it's white, and all you see is this white smoke. Well, that wasn't the case with me. I had to be real to myself. I had to be faithful to me. What did I see? As I mentioned yesterday, I thought at first it was a UFO. I didn't have a clue what was going on.
Right.
So anyway, I hope that answers you there a little bit.
But Sam,
I think it will bring forth some people.
You said before that clearly it was no 757.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'd lay my life on that.
Right.
It was no 750s. It was no 100-foot-long airliner with two, I forget how much those engines weighed. I said the weight last night, and I think I got it wrong. But they were 9 feet in diameter and a mammoth wingspan on the thing. I've flown in them before. A 767 is a similar model, and so is a 777. And any of you that have seen Eric Huffschmidt's Painful Deceptions, or probably any of the other current DVDs, will also see they have a computer-generated image of the aircraft, American Airlines Flight 77 and 757 Boeing set at an angle at the trajectory at which the plane came in. In this case, we think it's a Global Hawk. It shows how large it is compared to the Pentagon. And so there's no way that this aircraft is not going to leave behind, you know, debris. That lawn, like somebody had just cut the grass, that's the way it stayed.
And could you just briefly, Sam, could you tell the listeners what kind of debris that you found on the lawn when you walked across the lawn picking up the pieces? What kind of debris did you find on the lawn?
Well, that was real interesting. We were told to pick up every piece of debris. So it was shredded aluminum. I mean, it was shredded and little pieces, let's say 50-cent size pieces. Some pieces might be as big as a dollar bill. What was real strange about that was they carefully watched this picture. I say they. These are men that are wearing white shirts and neckties. I mean, nobody's putting orange flags out to mark these things.
Right.
I asked this question. I said, is the National Safety Transportation Board going to come? Aren't you going to document any of this stuff? Because I have been to these incidents prior in my life, and that's a normal protocol, especially for bodies. You mark where a body lies. There was no bodies. There were no substantial parts. But we picked up all these big pieces, or little pieces. But when I say big, it wasn't any bigger than something I could hold with one hand, with the exception of a couple fellas that it looked like they didn't want to get their clothes dirty and had a big piece of sheet metal carrying out around. And most of you have seen that picture in books and on film. One thing I want to quote on or mention about is there was a funny kind of a resin or polymer. I know the Airbus 318 is made of this polymer, and the stabilizer and the Airbus 319 uses the same composite. It's like a fiberglass type thing that has it was a smooth finish on it, crafted and molded in the way it should be aerodynamically for this aircraft to fly. And on the broken side of it is all like a fiberglass looking composite or a fiberglass looking material. That you had to give that to them right away. They didn't want anybody sticking anything in their pockets, no souvenirs, any of this kind of thing. And, of course, I don't know anybody that would have done that anyway, but myself and a variety of Pentagon employees, not people up on the highway, but Pentagon employees were getting pretty iffy or paranoid, I guess would be the word, to acclimate about that.
And did that fiberglass material have dark fibers in it?
Yes, sir, it did, yes.
Okay.
It had dark fiber. It reminded me of the heat shield, the bottom side of the space shuttle.
Okay.
I mean, for some reason, it wasn't, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the heat shield composites or what that is, but it reminded me of the resins and stuff they use for that.
Hey, Sam and Christopher, Mike back here. I had to step away for a moment, but you've managed to carry it on very well, and I thank you for that. One thing I wanted to point out in regard to that, what I thought was an excellent call from Keith in Rhode Island. You may have mentioned this, but I'm going to reiterate it anyway. Although there are millions of people in the Washington, D.C. area, most of those people are not within eyesight of the Pentagon. And those that were in their offices near the Pentagon or their homes near the Pentagon were not likely looking out towards the Pentagon for the simple reason that officially we had no advance warning the Pentagon was going to be hit by anything, whether a helicopter, a Global Hawk, a missile, or a Boeing 757. The only people that would actually have occasion at that time to be looking perhaps at the Pentagon would be those people who were on the highway, as in fact you were at that time. So that substantially reduces the numbers down from millions to perhaps even less than 1,000 people. We don't know the exact numbers at that time. Probably a satellite picture would give us a better idea of what happened, you know. But, of course, I don't think the government's going to release that. So,
well, Michael, can I mention that jet? Or you want to save that for later?
Well, go ahead. I do want to move on. We have a couple callers here, but go ahead. Please mention this.
Okay, I'll give you this real quick. What had taken some of us back real quick was the fact that I saw people looking up in the sky, and I thought, well, they're looking at smoke from the fire, or they're looking, you know, but maybe there's a Black Hawk coming in or whatever. And they were looking at a four-engine plane that looked like a DC-8 or a Boeing 707. Now, this goes back, you know, when I was younger, when we flew these planes on pretty much a regular commercial basis. And this thing was flying circles, and I know it's the Secret Service. Or they had holstered shoulder weapons. I know that.
And now, Sam, this is after the strike at the Pentagon.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. This was after the strike. I didn't know, you know, I don't pay attention. I didn't know. I knew the Trade Center had been hit from my trip from Amtrak.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know anything, you know, what was going on, because that was restricted air. You can't fly over that thing.
Yeah, you wouldn't have thought. I mean, that was what, you know, the average person on that day, particularly those of us here in Washington, after we heard about what happened in New York,
right.
You know, you think, my God, this is the nation's capital. We're going to have, you know, Air Force jets flying all over protecting us. So that strike at the Pentagon came as a real surprise.
Well, I can keep moving on here. I don't want to hold you up.
All right. Well, listen, let's go to Russell in Wyoming. I think this may be, is this Russell who sent us some emails earlier today?
Well, I called at the end of the, we emailed today. Yes, Michael.
Okay, great. Russell, go ahead.
Yeah, I called yesterday. What I was trying to determine, we ran out of time, is the engine piece that you saw outside the Pentagon, the 3-foot engine. I had a question. How far out from the facade of the Pentagon was that? And in relation to, say, starting with the generator to the two car fires to the heliport, where between the front of the building was that engine piece?
Now, when you say generator, Russell, are you talking about an APU?
No, sir. I'm talking about the large construction generator that was on fire. It produced most of the smoke and fire.
Right, okay.
Towards the south end.
Because some people had called that earlier, another time, as APU, a different thing. I would say a good 20 to 25 feet. It looked to me as if they had moved the rotor, and the engine was like, it was in a 45-degree bend. The turbine shaft was bent in half, and all the blades were broken off, and it had a pile of trash. I couldn't tell if it was engine or body parts. The sheet metal kind of covered up the engine. So it was hard to determine if the people, it wasn't in the building. It was clearly outside and in plain view. I walked right up to it. I was told to stand back, though, and, it looked like it could have been moved, like somebody might have moved it. I don't think they carried it out of the building, or it was very heavy. But someone must have slid it, because I remember looking at it, and there was very muddy, and seeing these muddy marks going up towards the wall, up towards the wall section, but they didn't go into the building, and maybe had drug this thing away. That was my impression. Everybody was confused.
Do you have any more questions?
Well, yeah, I still want to get in that exact location. Like, was it to the left of the... So, basically, from the base of the Pentagon wall, how far out towards the lawn or the helipad was this engine?
Oh, I'm telling you, it was about 25 feet out from the wall towards the left, as I recall, towards the left-hand side of the crash area. The actual hole that got punched into the wall before the roof caved in.
So was it as far left as the two cars that were on fire?
Sir, I really don't know. There's a lot of things on fire. Everything was on fire. I mean, my mind was consumed with my own safety. You know, so I didn't get hurt. People were more concerned about what was going on with themselves and picking up things. It was poorly organized rescue team, and like as I said, there were many cars on fire. There was fire in the building.
Sam, excuse me, I'd like to make a point here in regard to this. Russell, and no offense to you, Russell, but you weren't there when it happened, were you, Russell?
No, sir.
No, okay, all right. So Russell's obviously very well informed, having read about it. About the events and what was seen and heard and what was picked up after the fact. But what Sam is talking about specifically is what he remembers from his personal experience at that time. And anybody who's been involved in any traumatic event like this is going to have very specific events from things that they saw. They might see something from one perspective, and he may not have noticed these other vehicles on fire. He may not have noticed. There might have been a, for all we know, there may have been a helicopter flying overhead, and he may not have seen that, but he's just telling us what he saw specifically.
Well, I was looking at
I understand. I worked for the Seattle Fire Department and did emergency response for many years, so emergency psychology and stress and fire, I understand. I guess my thing is I would like to look at some of the very large resolution photos I have taken right in that same time frame and try to find that engine piece in one of the photos. That's the nature of my question.
All right. Well, listen, Russell, we do have to move on. I appreciate your call. And,
yeah, thank you, Russell, for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, let's go to Paul in Toronto. He's been very patient here. Paul, please come on up.
Hi. Actually, my first question was about the engine, too. Really, the thing that was bothering me was whether the engine, you felt whether the engine entered the building or bounced off of the building or fell down before getting to the building. Did you have any impression of that?
My impression was there's if you look at the picture of, or various pictures, there's a lot of pictures taken of the Capitol, and I forget the gentleman's name that took those. I know Eric Huffschmidt had gotten some pictures. There was a big dent. I don't know how to describe it. There was a great big huge dent or indentation in the concrete itself. That could, like, it was sort of roundish where this, where apparently, this was my impression, because I was thinking all these same questions that you're asking. Where is that engine? And when I was told it was a 757 American Airlines jet, see, this is what really put fear in me, because nothing matched anything I was told by the authorities. So I kept my, you know, I just didn't want to say anything and incriminate myself by saying something stupid, because I felt like I was at a criminal scene. I didn't feel like I was at a rest thing trying to look for deceased victims or people that needed my assistance. But to answer your question, and I'm not trying to railroad around it, there was this great big, right where the building collapsed. If you look at any of these pictures, when the building collapsed, there is an, I'm looking at one of these pictures now in Eric's book on page 99. Mm-hmm. There is this great big smashed hole. It's like a hole, but it's not made all the way through, as if the engine had hit that and then, like you said, bounced off the wall. But then when I look at the rotor, I got to kind of like can that theory. And this is my own. I'm not an engineer, okay, but this is my own theory, because if the rotor had hit that at 400 miles per hour, and this is what the feds and this is what people come up with, the speed was 400, I would have thought that turbine would have been just in a million pieces. You know, think of the inertia hitting that concrete at that speed.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it would have really torn that motor up. So the engine was definitely smashed up, but if it hit the wall and bounced off, I would have thought it would just exploded into a million pieces. So really, I'm playing devil's advocate with this in a way and thinking about it, but I'll tell you about the dent. That's a possibility. It could have hit that and then bounced back down to the ground, but I think if it would have hit that thing, it would have exploded.
Yeah,
and so I'm kind of hesitant about how did the engine arrive where it was at, and, you know, the blades were broken off. They always do break off in these plane crashes, the outer turbine fan blades, and because the thing's spinning, and, you know, they all get sheared off. It's probably a natural thing. The drive, I remember the turbine drive, not drive shaft, but the turbine shaft in and of itself was broken. It was bent right in the middle at almost like an 80-degree angle and stuff like that. These stick in my mind because, you know, my job in electrical field and engineering and such, you know, I was thinking about what you want to call it, geometry and stuff, and trying to figure things out. But there was too much to catch my attention. I was there for rescue. I wasn't there as an observer to investigate. I had no clue what hit this building. I wanted to see, are there any people in this Pentagon that are alive? Are there any survivors on this alleged jet? Where are they at?
Hey, fellas, listen, I want to try to squeeze in at least one more caller here. We do have a break coming up, but I think we've covered a lot of ground here. Let's go to Don from Ohio, who's been patiently waiting as well.
Yeah,
Don,
like to,
fire away.
Yeah, I'd like to play Sherlock Holmes here for a second and help Sam
with his contention of proof on this.
Okay, Don, listen, I'll tell you what. I hear that music coming up. You stay on for this final break, and we'll let you fire away. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper here with what I think is a very important program here on this network, the Republic Broadcasting Network, the best independent network there is. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper. We are wrapping up an hour here, which has been a very interesting hour. We've had excellent questions and calls from our people who've called in to talk to Sam Danner and Christopher Boleyn, who's kind of here as a kind of my crutch, because Christopher's the man who's been on top of these issues, and I'm an amateur compared to that. But I want to tell you, folks, we are going to have Sam and Christopher back on Thursday night, not tomorrow night. I have another very interesting guest tomorrow night who I think will interest you a great deal. But Thursday night, we're going to have Sam back, and those of you who have questions can call in. Those of you who are just tuning in for the first time and are interested in this subject will be able to get up here and just find out what's going on. And I think it's going to be very important for us to do that. Now, we had Don from Ohio, I believe, getting ready to ask a question, and we're going to let Don ask that question. Don, go ahead.
Okay, two questions, actually.
Go ahead.
First off is, he says that he was coming from the Amtrak.
Yes,
is that correct?
Amtrak, the coach yard.
Okay. So you did have a ticket, though.
Well, he was driving in his car. He wasn't on Amtrak. He was driving his car. He was working in the Amtrak railroad yard.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I used to be employed there.
Okay. Do you own a cell phone?
Yes, sir.
Did you have one that day?
Yes, sir.
How soon afterwards did you make your first call? And
I made it as soon as I saw the television when the plane hit the first tower.
How far away did you call?
I called 75 miles.
Okay, so that should be on your records. Is there any way?
Yes, correct, sir.
Excuse me?
You're very much correct. It would be on cell phone records.
Okay, that's the point I want to make. Then maybe you can get that and take a look and
sure.
See what, because Pentagon's got its own area code, right? Or zip code.
I think they probably have their own zip code because they were sending. I think they have 20,000 people that work there, so I believe they have their own zip code. And you know, you may be right about the area code issue. I never had heard that. I don't know anybody that works at the Pentagon.
You were still at the Pentagon though when you made the phone call.
No, sir. I was at Amtrak when I made that phone call.
Oh, you went.
I called my wife. She works for a newspaper, and I called her immediately when the tower was hit. And
he didn't make the phone call. Sam didn't make the phone call after the Pentagon hit. The first call he made after 911 was to his wife, and I guess he probably indicated he was coming back to where he lives in Maryland.
Did you try to make another phone call after the Pentagon got hit and you started cleaning up the mess?
Well, after I got back and got squared away and got south and going GW Parkway, I called my wife again. Because there was a current rumor that there was a plane that might have been shot down. This is the flight up at Shanksville. But then she called me later to say that wasn't so. But that she works for a newspaper. I don't want to mention what newspaper it is. She no longer is employed there anyway. But she was the head accountant there, and she went ahead and told me this story, you know, and then she's whispering to me about this plane being shot down. And then it was apparently a bogus story, from what I was told, and we ended that. I tried to talk to her.
Excuse me, Sam. Basically, I think Don is just asking for corroboration of some sort.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome to contact the United States Cellular. I mean, they got all these phone records.
All right. Well, I tell you what, Don, I appreciate that call, and you're welcome to call back on Thursday night. God willing, all three of us, Don.
Yeah, thank
Sam,
you, Don.
Sam and Christopher and I will be here, and I hope a lot of other people will call in because we're here for the public to ask these very important questions, and you're giving us things to think about, too. It's been a very important programming as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure there's a lot more good programming ahead here on RBN. So, folks, stay tuned, and please come back tomorrow night and certainly on Thursday night where you're going to hear more from Sam and Christopher. Sorry to Francis from Georgia. We couldn't bring you up, but you call back on Thursday. You're welcome to do that. This is Michael Collins Piper.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.